Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 64 of Dimes on Duval, the NFL draft episode. Skylar Chase, Mike Yazgi, and myself, Keith Manzi, are here to talk all about the Jaguars draft today. We are excited to be back in the studio. What's up, guys? How are we doing?
Well,
okay. Mike?
Can't complain.
Good. I'm happy that you guys are here because I've been really itching to do this episode because I've really wanted to talk about the draft. I don't feel like this draft was very meme-y, except for like the Blue Mountain State coach that came on.
Oh, that was hilarious.
Did you see that, Skylar?
I saw it afterwards.
I saw it afterwards too. I mean, he just...
Oh, I saw it live. It was hilarious.
About so many other things that had nothing to do with the draft, and then finally, like...
Bro, that's what the NFL gets for putting granted, he did play in the NFL, but still, putting people to announce the picks because it can turn into a one-man show, as it did with Ed Marinaro. I think that's how you say it. Marinaro. The head coach of Blue Mountain State. Marty Daniels. But that's what happens, and it was hilarious that the lady had to come out on stage to
She basically yanked him off with, like, the cane, like, hey, let's go, your time's up. I don't know if you guys watched any of The Last Day, but one of the Falcons' picks was the Atlantic Falcons. I thought that was kind of fun.
Interesting.
Like, you're such a diehard Falcons fan, but you don't know where they're located.
He sounds like Urban Meyer, the Phoenix Cardinals.
Or, what's his name?
I'm sure.
I have the tweet pulled up. Alex Clancis.
Oh, God. I saw that. I think I retweeted it yesterday. I thought it was hilarious.
That is so bad. Which, I don't know if you guys saw the Rich Eisen talk about, because Shad Khan came out and said that Urban Meyer was not fired because of wins and losses. He was fired because, essentially, he was a liar. And Urban had, like, talked previously on, like, a friend's show that he was like, yeah, I just didn't win enough, so I got fired. And it was like, yeah, that was not the case, dude. You were just a POS, and we got rid of you. So just thought that was kind of interesting. Rich Eisen always does a good job and loves talking to Jags just because of how big of a dumpster fire we are. But hopefully this draft will help us. I don't know. We'll see. I'm very intrigued to hear what you guys think of it. We're going to grade it here in a few moments. We're going to go through each pick as well because we have to. That's just the rule of the land. I'm sorry. You're going to have to deal with that. We're also going to sneak in a local update at the end. Little positive news for our Jacksonville Icemen, as well as the Sharks starting their season again. And then right now, let's talk real quick NBA. First round, done. Phoenix ends up beating New Orleans. We saw that coming. Dallas ends up beating Utah. We saw that coming. Warriors beating the Nuggets 4-1. Thought it was going to be a little closer than that. Still good.
Milwaukee shocked the Bulls.
Maybe for you it was a shock.
Shocked. Gentlemen sweep. I believe we called that one.
Well, you said a true sweep.
We did say true sweep. Touche.
Yeah, touche. We got one in Milwaukee.
To be fair, who would have thought the only sweep so far were the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, honestly.
It's ridiculous. I mean...
So, is Kyrie gone?
I don't think so. I think it's more of a... They're going to change everybody, every other part on that team.
Like, so, 95% of the roster.
So, you don't think Kyrie's the problem?
Well, I mean, he was the problem for not playing half the season, but towards the end, he did all right. I mean, he didn't play that great in the playoffs, but again, also, he didn't play half the season, so it's hard to play well when you haven't played that much. You don't have that big of a sample size. Just, and I get it, he's a vet, but still.
I only ask because of, like, the reaction I saw on Twitter from, like, him getting in his teammates' faces and stuff, and, like, you know, just some of the pictures you see where he just, like, has this face of, like, really, you know.
Yeah.
It's just, like, childish, I guess, for professional athlete.
I agree. And having such a young coach, even though Steve Nash was a great player, not having someone to run that locker room is kind of tough for them. And KD's exiting his prime. I mean, we're going to see the demise of KD here real soon. We forget that him and Russ and all these guys, they're getting up there in age. I mean,
with his body type, he's not durable, really. I mean, he's super tall and lanky. He's not like LeBron's having injuries now because he's getting older, too.
Well, so. LeBron is the unicorn in this situation. Yeah, exactly. Everyone experiences a fallout after X amount of years, essentially, in the NBA. But LeBron never had that. So now everyone tries to compare each other player to LeBron, and it's just not fair. I mean, LeBron is a very unique player. We're not going to see another one of him in a long time.
We'll compare him to Kobe Bryant then. No, I'm just kidding.
I mean, Kobe fell off. Kobe got hurt, and Kobe, you know, had bad teams. And now we're seeing it, but what, LeBron's what, 39?
I mean, Kevin Durant's still.
No, he's like 37?
He was drafted in 2003 at 18, so he might be about 37, 38. Yeah.
I can't do math. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Kevin Durant's still a unicorn in a sense, but...
It's a different sense.
Yeah, it's not a physical monster. He's just like... I mean, his gift is being 7 foot and being able to shoot and drive.
Well, yeah, he really like started that whole trend of 7 foot guys that can put the ball on the floor. I mean, now you see it and it's just like, okay, yeah, they can do that. Before, there wasn't a lot of that. You're not going to see Patrick Ewing putting the ball on the floor and, you know, driving to the hoop and pulling up from 18 feet. No, it just doesn't work like that. But now you have, like, Luka Doncic's and, man, I said that funny, but Giannis and all these other guys that are just...
Does the Denver guy count?
Jokic? I mean, Jokic is just a freak, too. I mean, yeah, he can run point. I mean, again, he got a bad draw with Golden State, and he's out of the playoffs. But, I mean, he had another MVP-caliber season.
Is Ja Morant? That's Morant, right?
Yeah, Ja Morant is going to be one of
the... Is he the next face,
not,
you think?
I think so.
Giannis is still the current face, in my opinion.
Yeah, but I think Ja's up there for, like, the future.
You think Memphis and Milwaukee play in the finals, and then Ja takes that over?
Memphis will make the finals, in my opinion.
Mm, interesting.
If Memphis gets by Golden State, it's going to be a tough ride. I think Phoenix beats Dallas. I think it'll be tough for them to beat Phoenix. But, I mean, we forget about the Heat in the East, too.
Yeah.
As much as I don't want them to win, they could easily knock out Philly with Embiid being sidelined with, what was it?
Orbital fracture.
Ouch.
And well, he's also got his thumb injury.
That too.
I just see, though, like, if we're looking, like, years down the road still, Milwaukee should have Giannis, and Giannis should still be performing for, like, the next 2 to 3 years. Like, that's easy. But, and then I don't know what Jimmy Butler and Miami's situation is. There seems to be, like, you know, disarray, I guess, in that locker room.
They've got some interesting pieces. I mean, they'll have to establish a new point guard at some point. Kyle Lowry's not going to last forever. And
Jimmy's getting older.
Yeah, Jimmy's getting older. Oladipo is like, you know, just like one of those plug-in pieces this year, but another guy that can't stay healthy, unfortunately. And then you have Bam Adebayo, who's really good lockdown in the paint. So they've got an interesting setup there, but I don't think it's for long-term success. We saw it last year after the bubble. Did they even make the playoffs that year?
Who?
The Heat? Or were they bounced
in the
first round?
In the bubble? They made the finals?
No, the year after the bubble.
Oh, I don't think they made it.
I'm pretty sure they didn't even make the playoffs. Or if they did, they got, like, eviscerated.
So you're talking about
game.
Last year, then?
Yeah, last year.
Let me double check that. I'm pretty sure they made the playoffs because... Yeah, no, they made the playoffs because Spoelstra's missed the playoffs 3 times in his career. I looked it up yesterday because I was talking with some of my friends about that. Let me double check. They got swept by Milwaukee last year.
Yeah, that's what it was. Okay, yeah, because everyone was like, oh, this is it. This is the Heat dynasty. Tyler Hero and Duncan Robinson and all these other guys are really good. And then they kind of sucked it up in the playoffs. And
to be fair, though, they were coming off that the year before in the bubble. They made the finals, and that playoff appearance was in October. So.
Oh, well, yeah, and the bubble's Mickey Mouse anyway.
Yeah, but they also were in a long 6-game series. Jimmy Butler had balled down that finals.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, the famous picture.
The famous picture of him hunched over.
Looking like the Popeyes.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, I don't think last year should count against Miami because they were just physically exhausted.
So, do you think they – how is this going to go to 7 games versus Milwaukee? That's who they're playing right now.
Milwaukee's playing Boston, could go to 7 games. Miami's Philly. So, Miami wins.
Miami should win 4-1,
4-2, yeah.
So – let's hypothetically say it's Milwaukee, Miami in the Eastern Conference Finals. 7 games or?
Give me Miami in 6.
Oh.
Give me Milwaukee in 6.
Interesting. I think Milwaukee in 6.
We'll see.
And then probably a rematch of Milwaukee and Phoenix.
I don't think Phoenix makes it. No. That's just me. I think Golden State will still make it.
Interesting.
That money's talking, Mike.
That money's talking, but I do believe Golden State should have won game two the other night, and that's because John Morant put on an unreal performance by putting up 47 on Golden State.
You don't think he carries this team on his back in this series?
Not against Golden State. Golden State's got too much talent.
I could see him sustaining it for this series, but next series falling short to like against Phoenix. But I mean, I don't watch as much basketball as y'all. So
if Golden State keeps a level head, because tempers have been flaring, refs have been that whole Gary Payton thing was
a dirty play.
Not great. Yeah,
that was a dirty play by Brooks.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. I'm excited. I mean, this is the first time in a while that I've actually like really enjoyed watching these playoffs. I know. You don't care, Mike. Do you watch any playoff hockey?
Occasionally. Like.
Okay. Well, I've been excited because the hockey has been entertaining. Even though my Bolts got smacked the other night, it's okay. Tonight, while we're recording, is the real game one.
How are the Blackhawks doing?
Sitting at home.
Not
like
there, us. Sir.
They're in Cancun.
Yes, they are enjoying their time off. Anyway. Let's talk draft. I'm going to play for you the reaction of the fans inside Players Grill, where I was. Mike is going to play his reaction from the draft party, even though he looks dumbfounded for some reason.
I think we go with Mike first, right?
Yeah, I think we should.
I just saw an article, and I'll show it to you guys after we record.
Okay.
Am I playing the video first?
Yeah, you first. Oh. He just said you first.
Oh, my bad. I was just... Okay, hang on. I was just caught off guard.
A lot of cheers there. Interesting. Now let's play Players Grill.
Then Michael Scott.
There was a Georgia fan sitting very close to me. He was probably the loudest one in there because obviously he's going to support his Georgia guy. But not the reaction that it sounded like at Daly's place. First of all, Mike, how was the atmosphere?
Actually, surprisingly, like fun.
Yeah.
Better than game day?
No, nothing tops. Nothing will top game day. It was definitely a electric atmosphere. There were five players that came out. Doug Peterson spoke to the media, to the fans when I arrived. Definitely a pretty packed crowd for Daly's place, and I thought it was a good atmosphere, and definitely some mixed reactions. Even though the video didn't indicate that, there were definitely a lot of people were like, "Eh," people were excited, and people were angry. So I do believe that Trayvon Walker is going to have mixed reactions during the first few games of the year, if not the whole season. Because to be fair, his performance will pretty much, I believe, indicate if Trent Baalke stays another year or not. Because
right.
They took him number one overall. So.
Yeah. Let's dive into that when we start talking about each player. So first off, I want for all three of us to give a grade of the draft overall and just a very, very short 1 to 2 sentences. I'm going to be watching you guys and throw a pen at you if you go past. 1 to 2 sentences on why we think that grade is. Who wants to go first?
Sure, I'll go first.
Oh, yeah, Skylar.
All right. Player one, Trayvon Walker.
Well, No. Your grade of the draft overall. Right. Just a letter grade. And like right. 2 sentences on why you think that.
So overall, C+. I think it was just they underutilized what they had going into the draft. They had 12 picks, and I think they could have done more with it. I'm not mad at the players per se, but just mad at the execution a little bit.
Okay. Mike?
I give it a B. And I give it a B because they addressed defense, and their biggest need was linebacker. They addressed that and pass rush. The only negative, why it's not A for me, is they didn't really address the offense, which we all know is the biggest key to the Jaguars' success, which we'll go over in a minute.
I also give it a C+. I am very adamant about building around the, you know, franchise quarterback in Trevor Lawrence, and they did not do so at all. And the defense is nice, but, well, we'll get into that. So,
well, I just think of it as, like, this guy is like Aaron Rodgers. You know, they want to treat him like Aaron Rodgers. So, of course, they're not going to draft any receivers.
Oh, so they're just going to be a piece of crap. Okay, all right, cool, cool.
When have the Jaguars ever done right by their players?
I mean, you're not wrong, and that's the problem. That's why, like, I was so surprised why so many people were excited with this first pick. Let's get into it. Number one overall pick, Drayvon Walker, listed D-end out of Georgia. I don't like it. I'm sorry. And I know, don't interrupt me either. Let me just sound off on this for real quick. I don't want to pick a guy that has high upside and big risk at number one overall. Sure, this draft was not like last year's. There was no surefire Trevor Lawrence is the guy. Everyone knew we were going to pick him. No one knew who the heck we were going to pick. This guy was in the middle of, like, draft boards, like, a couple months back. He was going, he was projected, like, third round. And somehow he jumps all the way up into the first round, and then somehow jumps up all the way up to, like, the top five pick. I'm like, why? What did this guy do last year that really showed that he was a number one overall pick? Oh, he's got high upside. I don't give a shit. I'm tired of, oh, well, he's got high upside. Oh, Kalaivon Chaisson, he had high upside. Taven Bryan, he had high upside. All these guys freaking suck. And we never draft good first overall, well, not first overall, like first round picks. I'm not okay with this. Will he be good? I don't know. Can he be good? Sure he can. Can he also suck balls? Absolutely he can. And that bothers me. I wanted the NC State tackle or whatever. Ikungwu or
Ikemekwunu.
Yeah, that guy. I wanted him because you know why? Protection for Trevor. And I think he's just going to be all around good. I don't care. I don't think any of these guys that are drafted in the top probably five or so that were projected possibly to be number one are going to be amazing picks. It's just that kind of draft, unfortunately for us. But I do think that drafting an O-tackle, I think he would have been a safer pick, and I wanted to go safe in this situation.
Well, do you think, like, so you're not happy with Cam Robinson extension then? Or
I don't love it, but hey, at least we have someone. We didn't overpay him. I think he was paid a fair amount. He's middle of the pack because he's a middle of the pack left tackle. So
would you feel better about the first overall pick if it was a different defensive end? Like Hutch or
I didn't want Thibodeau. Hutch, so no. Thibs, maybe. I mean, I might have felt a little bit better. I do think Walker has more upside than both of them because Thibs has had his problems where people say he doesn't love the game. And Hutchinson, I don't know. I just got some vendetta against him for some reason, but we'll see what he does in Detroit.
Constant J.J. Watt comparisons, probably.
It does bother me, yeah, but it is what it is. But, yeah, no, I mean, if they didn't re-sign Cam or extend Cam and they went with Evan Neal, I wouldn't have been mad.
Yeah.
I would have probably given it a better grade because, again, it was an offensive piece and we didn't address that at all. So, yeah, that's my piece on that.
Mike, your thoughts?
He looks lost in thought.
He's been lost everywhere.
I'm okay with it. The reason why I'm okay with taking Trayvon Walker at one is because, like you said, there's no real home run pick in this draft, to be honest. So I don't blame the Jaguars trying to say, hey, let them develop this year. Sure, we need the consistent production, but the problem is the only player with consistent production on, let's say, the defensive line has been Kayvon Thibodeau. Aiden Hutchinson had one good year. I did not want Hutchinson just because of that. Walker has the potential to be one of the best pass rushers, if not best players in this draft. I'm okay with it, and that is what Trent Baalke wants. Right now, we can't do anything about it because Trent Baalke is still the general manager. Doug Peterson, rumors were saying that he wanted an offensive line. But Trent Baalke wants to run the team his way? Fine. But the thing is, I'm okay with it. Not many people outside the media, like all the mock draft experts, McShay, Jeremiah, Kuiper, all said it's okay, it's a good pick. It's an okay pick. They get it. But the thing is, they wanted to see maybe – I understand why everyone wants to protect Trevor, and maybe they believe in Cam Robinson more than we do. The coach is there for a reason. Cam Robinson's been on the team this long. He's got to have some talent. So I'm okay with how they handled Trayvon Walker. Maybe it was a little early, but we'll see. Maybe he could turn out to be the best player in the draft, and all this talk about him being a bust are gone. So we'll see in 3 years.
I don't think anyone's mentioned him being a bust.
I've seen people say that.
I have one problem with your analysis. It was fine. I can't argue your feelings towards it, except for the fact where you said, if that's the way Trent Baalke wants to run this program, then fine. Because I don't want Trent Baalke anywhere near this fucking team.
I don't either. But the problem is, Khan wants him here. So,
but I think that's why the problem is so many people are rationalizing, like, well, if that's the route they're going, I don't want Trent Baalke anywhere near this. He's never proven anything to me. What makes me feel like he's a better person now and decided, like, oh, yeah, he made the right decision? We don't know that, but, like, when has he ever made the right decision?
Do you think that Walker will be better as a defensive end, just focusing on that one single position as opposed to all the tasks he had?
Yeah, I think so.
He could, because he played multiple positions at Georgia, so no one really saw what he could really become. So we'll see. He wasn't the best player on the Georgia defense that won the national championship this past year.
That's why I wanted Davis.
Well,
no. He wasn't even the best player on the team.
Weren't there people saying that he was going to be like a stand-up linebacker?
I don't know how they're going to use him. I really don't. Either a linebacker or pass rush defensive end opposite Josh Allen. I don't know how they're going to use him.
Yeah.
I think they're just going to have a bunch of guys that can just go at it. I mean, we can talk about it later with the other guys.
Like, yeah. Oh, but, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, with Walker, the pick to me, it's okay. It's an okay pick. It's not a great pick. It's not a thrilling pick. It's not exciting. I think the real winner from this is Josh Allen. I think his production's going to shoot up. Hopefully, you know.
One can only hope.
I think it's going to be similar to having, like, Calais, you know, back on the line. Somewhat similar, at least. I mean,
take the pressure off of him. Not get double-teamed every play. Yeah, absolutely.
And we still have, you know, other guys that can come and do it a little bit. Like, Lloyd now seems like he can do it every now and then from outside linebacker position. And then,
right.
Smoot's still there, right? I think he would perform very decently last year, and I think he'll continue to progress because he's progressed every year in his career.
So, Gatsis got re-signed today. Yep.
Alex Clancis or whatever.
Yeah, Alex Clancis. Okay, all right. Well, I mean, I think we could go on and on about the number one, but let's go down the pick. Number 20 overall, also in the first round, Devin Lloyd, linebacker from Utah.
That was 27 overall.
Yeah, they picked him 27th overall.
I don't know why I wrote 20.
Oh, well.
Yeah,
anyways,
maybe it was a typo.
That's my favorite pick of the draft, Devin Lloyd. Probably
I wrote best pick next to mine.
Bunch of, everyone's favorite pick. I mean, this guy.
Yeah, you're
right,
27.
Oops. He's just a, I mean, first of all, he won over the city with his Duval, you know.
It was kind of good.
It was amazing. And then in his first press conference, he talks about how he is aware we hate Tennessee. So he's fully investing in the city, and that's a beautiful thing when a player does that. I think the city's one of the best options for him just because he does have two parents from the Navy. We do so many things with the Navy outside of, you know, football. And I think that's going to make him feel comfortable with the environment. And just, he's going to, I think also with that background, he comes in very disciplined, you know, always trying to prepare and be prepared for every moment that he might encounter. And I think that's huge for just everyone in the locker room seeing that and just getting familiar with how it's supposed to be, like how you're actually supposed to prepare. So
yeah, with them jumping into this pick, I thought they were going to overshoot at a wide receiver. I'm glad they didn't. I think this is a great pick. Like I said, this is my favorite pick of the draft. He's got great leadership, which is something we're going to need with Miles Jack gone. 23 years old, so he's mature. I think that, like, yeah, like you said, his excitement for coming here is obviously a great thing, but I think his play on the field shows that he's going to be an impact player fairly quickly.
He can do everything from the linebacker position.
Yeah.
And
yeah. He had more sacks than Trayvon Walker did.
Yeah, and I think he play safety in high school, from what I remember. Like,
He might have. I'm not really sure.
He played punter in high school, apparently.
That's pretty cool. He basically, I think he had 150 tackles final, 43 for loss, 15 and a half sacks, and 5 picks, including 7 sacks and 4 interceptions in 2021. He is all over the field. I think he's going to be a really good football player. Mike?
I love the pick, and I remember when we traded up for him, I was like, it's got to be for a linebacker or a receiver. I'm glad we didn't take a receiver, because at that point, the only receiver I really wanted was either John Metchie or George Pickens, and they both went early second round, which is fine. So I'm okay with taking Devin Lloyd. I love Devin Lloyd. I think he's going to be a really good player for us, and he helps revamp our linebacking core with the addition of Oluokun and also the next pick, Chad Muma, in the third round.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry. Yeah,
no, third he round, was third round. Round. Yeah, late third round. Round. But before him, at 65, we took Luke Fortner, center out of Kentucky.
Probably my second favorite pick. I don't know.
Damn it. Me too. He's going to challenge Shatley.
Yeah, and then, I mean, with Linder gone too, I mean, it just helps to, obviously, just to have any O-line just helps depth in that position. Anywhere on the line is great. Like, so, I'm for it.
Mike, you like it?
Eh. He wasn't even the best offensive lineman in Kentucky, but then again, I don't know how the centers were. I really wanted Linderbaum, but I was annoyed that he went 2-3 picks before where we took Devin Lloyd. So, I mean, it'll do. If he can beat Shatley, great. If not, that's just a bust of a pick by Trembalki, so we'll see.
I don't think so, only because he can play other positions. He played other places on the line before, and I think they could plug him in when needed.
We'll see. I just think he might be a little undersized, especially to play center, but we'll see. Hopefully I'm wrong. Hopefully he does take over the job, because I like Shatley, but we drafted Fortner early, so you hope that he gets some starting reps at center, or at least to win the job this year. So
right. Well, then moving on to the 70th pick, also in the third round, Chad Muma, linebacker out of Wyoming. All right, we already have one Wyoming guy. One's got to go. See you, Wingard.
This was actually one of my favorite picks. I really think Chad Muma is going to be a really good player for the Jaguars, if obviously he stays healthy and whatnot. However, like I said earlier, we just revamped the entire linebacking core. And My goodness, did the linebackers suck last year. They got run over a lot. And now adding Fadakasi on the D-line and also adding 3 new linebackers for this year, our run defense should be one of the best. Not one of the best, I want to clarify. One of the top 10 in the league, because they all can stop the run. Yeah, that's what I'm hoping with Chad Muma. He was supposed to be a late first-round pick, and we got him in the late third, or mid-third. I'll take it. Easily. That's great value. And I think Chad Muma will be starting day one, and will contribute immediately, and will be one of the best players on this defense.
Yeah, I like the fact that they're getting a bunch of run-stopping guys. In this division, it's more important than any other one, with Derrick Henry in it and Damian Pierce now at Houston. I'm a big fan of him being a Gator, obviously. And then,
of course,
John Blank. Who else we got? We got Indianapolis. They got Jonathan Taylor, obviously, who's
Derrick Henry, incredible. Jonathan Taylor is going to be tough, and that's just the division alone.
Those are like literally the two best running backs in the league right now. Like, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know anyone else right now.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't in love with this pick. I think he is a good pick, but at the same time, I was like, did we really just take another linebacker? At this point, this was 3 defense to 1 offense, and I was like, my goodness.
Yeah, I would have hoped for a receiver at this point. That's also where my draft grade comes in. We had 12 picks coming into the draft, and we ended up with 7, which I'm not mad at, but maybe I wish we would have had, you know, some more in the top 3. Like, why not have like 7 picks in the first 5 rounds and then be done with it then?
Right. And I'm not an expert on these kind of things. I don't know exactly who was available at that time, because I didn't pay that much attention. But at the same time, it kind of was like, okay. I mean, again, I think our linebackers are set. I think we're going to have a good linebacking core, as Mike said and you said, and good for that. But
and honestly, the cornerbacks, they're not going to be that bad either. We still have Shaq Griffin, we got Darius Williams, and we picked up a couple guys, and you know,
yeah, we'll see. I mean, late round guys, you never know what might happen, but
I feel like safety is still the biggest hole right now on defense, but
for sure
the receivers aren't going to get that far on the field with all our guys rushing the bat quarterback and all that. But
yeah, well, then the next pick is the second and only other offensive pick in the draft. It's the fifth round, 154th overall, Snoop Connor, running back out of Ole Miss.
James Robinson's replacement.
James Robinson 2.0, essentially.
A little quicker.
But he's still very average speed. Not very fast.
He's just got, like, I mean, James Robinson's been able to hit holes and just run out of gas, kind of, where this guy might be able to finish it. Might be able to. He's just that much quicker.
Yeah. He was overshadowed at Ole Miss because of Jerrion Ealy. But, I mean, yeah, it's very similar
and we
attributes
still,
to James Robinson. I mean,
Robinson's coming back from injury, and we're still not sure about ETN either, coming back from injury. So, not mad at it, but
it'll be, I don't know. What do you think, Mike?
Personally, they needed to get a running back, so I'm good with it. But I personally think I don't know why they traded up to get him.
Yeah.
They gave up a lot to get him. So, and this is a team that needs talent. So I personally would have stayed and probably taken another position, like maybe a later receiver or more offensive line.
Or tight end, maybe.
Or even a tight end. But, I mean, we'll see. Snoop Connor, I mean, I just remember one play, and I was the one. I remember seeing it over and over again on Twitter, him trucking a Louisville player.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, he's a good run blocker. Cool. But, like, I mean, a good blocker. I don't know why I said
that. Yeah,
he blocks while he runs.
I think Snoop will be fine.
It's called a stiff arm.
Hopefully, I mean, he'll probably be the replacement for James Robinson for early next year, but I don't know if James Robinson's 100%. I think he'll – we'll see. That's going to be very –
I think James has a whole season this year, but next year.
We'll see. Well, he may not be next – healthy. He may not be back next year because he's – undrafted free agents have three-year deals. So this upcoming year would have been a contract year. So we'll see if the Jags even bring him back. So that's another thing to consider.
How many Jaguars – they listed all the numbers that they picked. How many Jaguars running backs have been 24? I feel like
– T.J. Eldon's the one I remember.
I feel like there's Carlos been like Hyde. Five. Yeah, it just feels like 24 just keeps getting recycled.
Montel Owens, the OG.
Oh.
Montel Owens, that's a good name right there. All right, moving along. We have the sixth round pick, 197th overall, Gregory Jr. That is his last name. He's not a junior.
Oh, Wichita.
Cornerback from Washita. Damn it, you made me mess up because you said it wrong. Washita Baptist.
Arkadelphia.
Arkansas.
West Arkadelphia.
When I saw the name come across the screen, I was watching it. I was like, where the hell?
He's the first
is
player
this?
Drafted from that school.
Yes. I would hope so because. My goodness, I've never even heard of that. And the fact that the name of the city that where the college is from is literally a city, Philadelphia, and Arkansas combined. It's like they had a baby, Arkadelphia.
Well, I mean, Arkansas. Arkansas is Arkansas.
True. Here's a quick rundown of Washita. It is 1,500 students.
If you don't like to curse, it's Wapoopa.
It is literally only 1,500 students. Female to male ratio, 43 to 57. So there's more chicks there. If you're into that, you know.
It's Baptist.
Their student to faculty ratio is 12 to 1. Their average class size is only 18. So you do get that personal feel. Mm. Obviously, a Baptist school, a lot of their stuff is going to be with Christian studies. But they do have business, education, fine arts, and others. They're... 95% of their students live on campus, and 98% acceptance rate to graduate programs. So that's pretty cool. I think that was.
I would assume the other 2% just don't apply to any.
Or they just like apply for something that's just like ridiculous.
Rocket scientists.
Yeah, what are they? I wanted to see what their mascot
was. I think
was.
It's like a wildcat or a bobcat.
I'm sure it is.
Or a tiger.
That's what everything is.
It's some type of big cat.
Big Cat Country. Tigers.
Tigers, oh my.
They show up and show out on the playing field and in the classroom. I don't know what the GAC is, but it's not important.
Enough about the university.
I wish he was from Edward Waters. Come
on, no one knew any of that stuff, so you're welcome. Anyway, yeah.
I don't mind the pick.
I don't really care, yeah.
The reason why I don't mind this pick and the next pick, because they're both corners, might as well address them both. Yeah, they need some depth because they only have three corners that are off the top of my head. Shaq Griffin, Darius Williams, and Tyson Campbell. Granted, they also do have Trey Herndon. Okay.
They have him. Yeah, he's there, but that's about it.
Exactly. And I'm pretty sure there's another one. But either way, they need to get some depth, and hopefully maybe they make the roster and help the team out. If not, see ya.
I mean, special teams, they're going to be
there. Exactly. Special teams will be big. So.
For sure.
And maybe they'll contribute enough on special teams that we can cut the other Wyoming guy, Andrew Wingard.
That would be great.
Wingard plays special teams, and that's why he's on the team, pretty much.
You think any of them can convert to safety? I mean, we still have Cisco back there, but...
Junior is 6 foot, 203 pounds, runs a 4.4. The other pick, that was our seventh-round pick, is number 222 overall, Monteric Brown, cornerback from Arkansas.
Buster Brown.
He was first-team All-SEC this season. He had 5 picks, which was, you can't argue that.
SEC is pretty good.
And he has the size and skill to, set man to man, but I think he'll be a zone corner option if anything. I'm not exactly sitting here thinking woo, yeah, he's the guy. But honestly, guys, it still comes back around to we didn't address the offense. And I pulled some numbers real quick. I'm sorry. I have it on my Twitter and I didn't have it pulled up. I'm ashamed. The Jaguars defense gave up 26.9 points per game last year. The league as a whole, the average defense gave up around 24 points. But our offense only scored 14.9, basically 15 points a game.
Well, guess what? Our defense now is going to hold people to 12 points.
So
we're going to win 14-12.
The average was 24, though. Are you really think it's going to jump that many numbers? I don't know.
We cut the score in half because we... fix half the defense.
I mean, if two-thirds of the NFL offenses are averaging 21, what's more important to fix first? I think it's still the offense.
So, I mean, you don't think with... I mean, obviously, we overpaid Kirk, but we don't think Kirk and Jones improved the offense just a little bit.
Zay Jones? No, not really at all. Kirk? Sure, a little bit, because it couldn't get any worse, but...
And Evan Ingram can't freaking catch
a football, so I don't know why we signed him and thought, that's our answer at tight end. I'd rather have Oshaq Hennessy than him.
You don't think ETN's going to do anything?
You'd rather have O'Shaughnessy than Evan Ingram?
Evan Ingram can't catch a ball.
Oshaq can't catch
a
break.
He can't stay healthy, that's the problem.
And that, too. Neither of them can, though, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, but if you look at the past Super Bowls, Rams won 23 points. Tampa Bay, 31 points. Kansas City, 31. New England's an outlier, scoring 13 against the Rams in 2019. Philadelphia, 41. New England, 34. 24, 28, 43. These are numbers that the Jaguars weren't even getting to last year. And I don't think Christian Kirk and Zay Jones and maybe a healthy ETN are going to bring us to that point. I'm saying is I am just tired of watching games where, defense will take over. This isn't the 2017 team. We don't have Jalen Ramsey out there. We don't have the best defensive line, essentially, in the league. We don't have that. And I understand you have to build the defense, but not even addressing the offense really, really is frustrating. Let me just jump into the undrafted free agents because there was an offensive addition there. Kevin Austin, wide receiver from Notre Dame. I think he makes the team.
Yeah.
I don't think we have anybody that's going to, really stop him from making the team.
I hope we cut Chenault.
Me too, Mike. Me too. I'm over the Chenault. We can revamp him. No, we can't. I'm sorry, Skyler.
I don't say revamp. Okay, I just mess around with Mike.
I know you are, but
I think I think he just needs to hit the jugs machine a ton, but that's on him. He needs to do that.
He doesn't care.
Yeah.
Any other undrafted free agents jump out?
The kicker, obviously.
Andrew Mavis, something from Iowa State.
I saw a video where he won a kicking contest making a 67-yard field goal.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Matthew Wright's got some...
Ooh, he's got some competition.
He's gonna have, Matthew Wright's just going to have to be 100% from inside 55, because so outside got, 55, he can't kick it.
I've got one player I'm very interested in. Josh Thompson, corner from Texas.
Okay.
Just because, would not surprise me if one of these undrafted corners hit, because we'd signed three, or no, we signed, yeah, we signed three
like
corners.
As special teams, or like as
just
a
in
corner?
General. Okay. Just in general. There's always one corner that makes the team, so I think it could be him.
Okay. It's going to be interesting. Obviously, I guess we qualify as the media because we are talking about this and we don't play. We're going to talk about it. We're going to sit here and speculate. I'm still pissed off. I don't know. I can't get the vibe. I mean, you guys seem to be okay,
I think we're over it.
Like, we're all over the way the Jags have been.
Yes, I am.
It is what it is.
I'm with that mentality right now because, honestly, the Jags have drained every single ounce of my
passion,
happiness, and until they start proving everyone wrong.
Yeah,
it's gonna be the same old story.
14 years, man.
Same old shit with the Jaguars. Same ownership. Same this. No matter what, change the owner, change the general manager, change the coach. Change the quarterback. No matter what, it's a dumpster fire here, and it sucks. So until something changes and it's on a consistent basis, I don't even get upset anymore.
I mean, the only thing that's good about being a Jaguars fan is there's the Browns, at least.
They have more success than we have recently.
They haven't gone no.
They've been to more playoffs in the last 5 years than we have. So
in the 5 years. Okay,
yeah. I don't care. That's still more recent.
That's their only playoff appearance in their whole existence.
Is a joke.
I don't care. Guess what? Still the same amount of Super Bowls as us. Zero. So I'm good with it. They've had more success.
They have had more winless seasons.
Touche.
Mm-hmm. They have uglier uniforms.
Yeah, I like the color orange, and they make it look bad. It's my favorite color.
Orange is the worst color in the United States. I don't know why I say United States. In the world, whatever. I'm also focused on a fantasy draft in 1 minute. So
wait, why? Why orange isn't that bad?
Orange is the worst color.
No,
I think brown is worse.
No, orange is worse.
Golly,
that's so rude.
Orange is the worst color.
Orange.
I mean, there are some good shades of orange. Like a good burnt orange is nice.
My favorite.
Now, Gator orange. Yes, Mike, I agree. It's shit.
Orange
but like,
is garbage.
Like, what's your favorite color?
Red.
Basic. Basic bitch.
Mine is a chartreuse.
Chartreuse.
I like cayenne. So.
Robin's egg blue.
Off-white. Off-egg white.
Orange is garbage, and I will not. It's one of the worst colors ever.
That's probably your worst take on
this.
Okay,
well, you know what? Fine. I'll put
besides
up a poll.
Blake Bortles.
I'll put up a poll.
What's the worst color, orange or brown?
No. I'm just going to put up a poll.
Is orange the worst color?
I'm going to post the episode, and underneath there's going to be a poll. Is orange the worst color? Yes or no?
When you look at sunsets and sunrises, you just like throw up in your mouth or something?
Seriously.
Nope. You cannot convince me orange is a good color. I don't care.
Do you eat oranges?
Yes, but that doesn't have nothing to do with it. Oranges are tasty, but the color is stupid.
It's so good they named it the color.
Lime green is
so
gross.
Lime green?
That's a bad color.
Orange is worse than lime. Have you seen the Seahawks uniforms?
Yeah, that highlighter is worse than orange.
No.
Oh, my God.
Orange, I'm telling you.
Are you colorblind?
No.
Is there like something?
So, orange.
What does orange
look
like to you?
Not one person looks good in orange.
Oh, that is false.
Who? Man. Who looks good in orange?
I do. One.
I definitely don't, so.
Whatever, Mike. Whatever. It's regardless. I'm going to put up the poll. I mean, you're looking at this number five right here. You think that's ugly?
Yes, orange is a terrible color.
You don't think black and orange look good together?
No.
So you hate
Halloween? I don't care about Halloween. So
Halloween.
What's your second favorite color?
Halloween. I don't know. It's what's my second favorite color?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I like purple.
Big purple. My first is blue. I'm not sure exactly the shade, so I can't say which one. But my second one is like a dark red. I like a dark red.
What was your first?
Blue. A certain shade of blue, but I can't think of it right now.
I think my second favorite is blue, actually.
Oh.
And then third is white.
Red and blue.
Red, white, and blue. America, baby!
White's not a color.
What?
White is not a color.
Yes, it is.
It's the absence of all color, Mike.
Which is a color.
Ka-ching. The absence of all color is not... All right, we're getting sidetracked. Anyway.
That's what happens when you listen to Dimes on Duval, baby.
Before we end the episode, I did want to do a quick little local update because we have to, because a lot of things are going on locally right now. As we are recording, this is Wednesday night. Art Walk is going on. I know that's only once a month and that has nothing to do with sports, but it's a fun event.
Let me know when they do the art run.
No, running sucks, so I will never let you know when that happens. Mike is, involved with his fantasy.
Damn it!
Bull crap. So anyway, the Jumbo Shrimp. I'm teasing them because I wrote an article and we'll be releasing it when their next homestand starts. So be on the lookout on dimesonduval.com for that. They are, 14 and 12. Middle of the pack. As about as middle as you can get, but they are scoring runs like it's nobody's business. All right,
guys, quick question. I'm on the clock. God. Do I take Christian Watson, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens, or David Bell? Or John Mechie?
Watson.
I have 27 seconds.
I think he gets a lot more targets. That's the one that went to Green
Christian
Bay.
Watson, Jahan Dotson, George Pickens.
Watson?
I think so, too. All right. Thank you. That's all I need to know.
Yeah. Anyway.
That was my second pick. My first pick was Breece Hall. If anyone Rogers cares.
I can't categorize these.
You're just drafting rookies, right? It's
it's a rookie draft for a dynasty.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Actually, gotcha.
Anyway, yeah. So the Jumbo Shrimp are scoring really well right now. They are in Memphis as we speak. They will be back home. Gosh, it's going to be a while, I think. I had it pulled up, and now it's gone.
It should be like a week.
They have a week. They have a series coming up this weekend, I thought.
No, they're in Memphis all weekend. Memphis Redbirds.
10-10 lied to me. What's new?
Yeah, they're good at that, and they're good at sucking. We are the biggest haters of 10-10. If anybody else hates 10-10, please feel free to reach out to us. If you want to leave a message or something about them, please get in contact with one of us. We will have you on the show just so you can trash them.
Yeah, we will let you call into the show. That's actually a good – that is a way to get on the show. To just – if you want to completely crap on 1010XL 92.5 FM, give us a call. Let us know. We'll get you on the show, and we'll get you live on the air. Or perfect. Not really live, but you know what?
Yeah. We'll get you on. Anyway, going back to the Shrimp. They are at home next week against Nashville. So starting Tuesday through Sunday. And they are in town until the 22nd. So the 10th through the 22nd. Obviously, they are off on Mondays, as Skyler mentioned last time. But go check out a game if you haven't already. Next up is the Jacksonville Icemen, who won handily against the Gladiators in their series. Now take on the Everblades, Florida Everblades, the Battle of Florida in the, what did you call it, Mike? The semi?
Huh?
Are they in the semis?
Well, I was asking.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the NBA playoffs. I don't know. No, I have no clue. I thought you were talking about the NBA playoffs.
I asked. Are they in the semis of like the ECHL?
Yeah, he said something, right?
I thought he was talking about the NBA playoffs.
Oh, he's a dumbass.
Thank you.
They have their first game this Friday, 7:30 p.m. It's on the road, unfortunately, so the first opportunity for you to see our Iceman is going to be Tuesday, May 10th, 7 p.m. puck drop. And then they play again on Wednesday at the same time. So go check out the Everblades if you haven't, because they are good. And last but not least are the Jacksonville Sharks. Now, I do know they lost in like a last second fashion, I believe. It was. Oh my goodness. I just clicked on the page and this is what popped up. All right. The swimsuit calendar popped up for the Attack Dance team. I am literally just trying to look at the schedule here. That was awkward. Yes. Oh, God. They're already two games into the season. My apologies. Their first game was on the 23rd. They lost to the Columbus Lions 56-49. God, these scores. And then they lost to the Albany Empire 61-60. I love arena football. That was their first home game. So their next home game is going to be May 14th against the Columbus Lions again. It is a fun time if you've never been. I know, Mike, you've gone to a game?
What?
A Sharks game?
Never.
Skyler?
I was supposed to go, but
a couple of years ago, maybe four.
It's a fun time. Maybe more. I mean, more. It's weird because, you know, the field's so small.
That's cool, though.
And, yeah, it is a fun experience. If you just like football in general, you should just go check it out. So that's all we have. Quick note. Does anyone know who number 64, because we're on episode 64, who number 64 for the Jaguars is right now?
No clue.
There have been like no notable 64s in history. I mean, there's been a couple guys that wore it for like a couple years. Dick Trickle actually rode in the Busch series in the 64 car.
One of the best names ever.
It is. Coy Kronk, offensive tackle from Green Bay. He was just like a free agent addition. He went to Iowa. Yeah. But he's got a cool last name. Kronk. I mean, his last name is Kronk.
Get Kronk with it. Get loose with
it. No, Kronk, like my spinach puffs. Like Emperor's New Groove.
Oh, Kronk.
Yeah, Kronk. C-R-O-N-K.
Oh.
It's not K like
throw
in the
off my groove.
I'm sorry. You threw off the Emperor's groove. I'm sorry.
Squeak, squeak, squeaky, squeak, squeak.
Squeak, squeaker, squeak, squeaking. Great movie, Emperor's New Groove. Go watch it right now because we are done with another episode of Dimes on Duval. Thank you all for tuning in once again. For Skylar Chase and Mike Yazji, I'm Keith Manzi signing off until next time. Thanks for tuning in.
Just a reminder, Urban Meyer can suck my nuts. Just kidding, I don't want him near me at all.
Okay.